Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Once upon a time, the Obama administration and then the Biden administration and then other voices in Washington talked about engaging with Castro's Cuba, now Raul Castro's Cuba. I learned from Mary Anastasia O'Grady of the America's editor and columnist at the Wall Street Journal editorial page that also Brussels is looking to engage with Cuba and continues to engage with Cuba with money. Mary, a very good evening to you. The puzzle here is Brussels reads about the embargo and makes excuses, but Brussels must also read about the political prisoners in Cuba and especially about the events that you mentioned in your new column, the J-11 Cubans who are in jail. Does Brussels respond in any fashion to that abuse of the citizens by the regime? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. First, I think we should clarify to your listeners, J-11 refers to July 11th, 2021, when there was this huge spontaneous uprising across the whole island, which made it very unique in the history of the Cuban Revolution. Where people went out into the streets and just said, you know, that they wanted freedom. And I think it was very much triggered by a shortage of food and all the problems of the pandemic. But at the core, people were asking for liberty. And this stunned the regime and it cracked down very harsh. And as you note, I mean, this was widely publicized throughout the world. So it's interesting to arrive at this point 3 years later and see that the European Union is still giving money to the Castro regime. I mean, I call it the Castro regime because Raul Castro is still alive, even though he's retired. And it's still very much fashioned in the way it was during the time of Fidel Castro and Raul Castro, both of whom at one time were lead dictator. Now it's in the hands of Miguel Díaz-Canel. But as I say, Castro is still alive and it's still a very repressive state. So the question of why the EU continues to give money to them is mind-boggling. One potential answer is that for the European left, an anti-American cause, such as the Cuban Revolution, is more important to keep going than weakening the regime and looking out for these struggling dissidents who are starving, repressed, tortured, imprisoned, exiled. Very bad situation for the majority of Cubans.
As your column makes clear, however, Cuba is not a standalone bad actor. It's interweaved with lots of bad actors. The European Union knows this full well. Russia's present, Hezbollah's present, Tehran's present, China's present, Nicaragua's present. They're all interrelated, and Brussels knows this. They have a foreign ministry, a foreign diplomat. It has been Josep Borrell. It'll be Kaya Kallas in these transition moments. But they're aware of what Russia and China can do in Europe. Certainly they're aware of what these relationships do to the people, the Cuban people. So what I'm learning from you, Mary, is that despite all this indication that by supporting the regime, you're supporting your enemies, there's no indication that that EU is going to change its direction.
There really isn't so far. I mean, there are a couple of glimmers of hope. There was a large agreement that they were trying to do for Cuba. I believe it goes by the initials of PDAC. It was an agreement between the European Union and Cuba, and it would have funneled a lot of money to the island. Lithuania stood up and said, no way. And it required 100% buy-in by all the members of the European Parliament. So far, Lithuania is holding out, and that has stopped something like $3 billion from going going to the island. But I think that, again, I can't stress enough that there are many actors in Europe that see Cuba as a problem for the U.S. And that the fact that it's held out for 65 years and the U.S. has not been able to liberate the island is something that is cheered by the European left. And I do think that they have an interest in keeping it going. They will say that this money is going to help the poor. And for sure, Cuba is really in bad economic shape right now. But the problem with that argument is that money is fungible. And so the money goes to, they'll even say that the money's going to, NGOs or, international aid groups or something like that. But there's no money that arrives from abroad into Cuba that does not pass first through the regime. And they have a lot of control over, picking and choosing who gets help and how much money actually goes to the people and how much money is kept for them to invest in their repressive machinery, which, by the way, doesn't only work in Cuba, but is also quite involved in Venezuela right now in infiltrating and acting as a minder against any elements of the Venezuelan military that may want to rise up against Maduro. Cuba's playing a huge role there. And of course, as I mentioned in my column, Cuba has also been sending recruits to Russia to fight against Ukraine. And this is one of the things that I find, really mind-boggling, because the European Union is also giving money to Ukraine to fight Russia. And so they're helping an adversary by sending this money to Cuba. And again, I think, a dislike for the United States and its ability to, win in many causes and internationally is driving a lot of European elements to say, no, we have to help Cuba stay alive, the regime to stay alive.
Political prisoners. Who is Daniel Ferrer?
Daniel Ferrer is a very important dissident leader in Cuba. He's been at this for years and years and years and years, and he's been in and out of prisons, and he's really a problem for the regime. Totally peaceful, but very dedicated and outspoken. And right now he's in jail at the eastern end of the island, which is really out of the sight of all the embassies and everything. I mean, he's way just kind of stuck in a cell, solitary confinement, dark, very not well at all. He's been in there since July 11th. That's when he was most recently arrested. There are some people who are trying to get him named as a possible winner of the Sakharov Prize, which is a European Parliament prize. They did give that prize to Osvaldo Paya some years ago, another Cuban dissident who was killed by the regime. And so he's not forgotten, but I tell you, you just don't see his name very much 3 years after this big uprising.
And the European Union at this point has not said anything definitive about changing its ways. Is that correct? They're just going to continue to fund these organizations pretending that they're helping the poor.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty much where they're going. I mean, there are elements inside the European Parliament who speak out against this. And right. I mentioned Lithuania. And in my column, I noted a Polish former Polish foreign minister who is saying, this is crazy, people. I mean, we're trying to help Ukraine. And meantime, Cuba is sending you recruits to fight for Russia. Right. Why are we doing this? But not making a ton of progress so far.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady, writing for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.